Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atatula.
In Loop Sports Radio 610, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, I'm Reginald Atatula. Hey man, ESPN put out a list of the top 100, and buddy, there's a lot of top 100 type lists floating around this time of year. It is kind of list season of sorts, but it is fun. Right, this one, the NFL experts put together a top 100 list. How many Texans do you believe are on this list? 713-572-4610. I'm interested in what we might learn about the way that this team is viewed, particularly at the top end, from this kind of thing. And so, Lopez, Figgy, let's start here. How many Texans do you think in general should be in the top 100 players in the NFL?
I think there should be more than this, but I think some players still have something to prove to these quote-unquote experts. So I'm going to say five.
Okay.
I think CJ, Will Anderson Jr., Danielle Hunter, Stephon, maybe four.
Ooh, okay.
Maybe four.
Locks it down to four. And he gave us the idea of the four that you think you are.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, Tunsil, five.
Okay, back to five.
Yeah, five, right. five. But I think players like Derek Stingley probably didn't get the love that they wanted. Maybe players, I'm looking at the roster now, so I don't want to miss anybody, like Tank Dell. Or Nico, either one, maybe could be on the list, but didn't get the love that they probably deserved. I think five, but maybe they'll more deserve to be on there.
Okay, Fig, is there are you with Lopez here on five or?
Yeah, I was thinking five. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say six.
Okay,
I'm gonna say six.
All right, let's go through this and try and see it out. Right, so.
Yeah.
Clearly, the best player on this roster is, you?
C.J. Stroud.
Tunsil.
You go Tunsil.
I'm going to go Tunsil. Okay. It's the highest rated.
Well, the highest ranked is indeed C.J. Stroud.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know if that's quarterback bias, but he comes in 15th.
Okay, sounds that's
fair.
Real good.
That sounds fair.
That's real good.
Yeah.
And just worth noting, the fifth quarterback on this list after...
sounds fair, too, to
Mahomes,
be honest.
Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow... are the four quarterbacks.
I think that's more than fair.
And so it looks like at least ESPN's NFL folks are very high on C.J. Stroud headed. And, of course, some of this is like player predictions.
Projection.
If you project that forward, I think that there's a – I don't know that there's very many people that don't view him in that high tier because we were kind of talking about the QB tiers that Mike Sando put together yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And that was more in the vein of, you know, what have we seen, and especially with the executives around the league, what have we seen – he needs to prove it. I think the expectation is he has the team and he has the capability of proving it this year to where viewing him as a top five quarterback in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I think that's excellent, to be honest.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if you want to see him be like a potential MVP, he has to be that level of player. All right, so Stroud is on there. That's one. Who would you say is the second best player on this team?
I think Figgy's got it. I think it's Tunsil.
Yeah, Tunsil?
Yeah.
The second highest rated player is not Tunsil.
Oh, wow.
It is the man that came in the same draft as C.J. Stroud. Will Anderson already getting a lot of love here.
Okay, so this is... Okay, well, maybe...
So it might be about
maybe
six.
Derek Stingley is seven, in it. Yeah. Because they are actually projecting like what they're going to be this coming season, not just what they've done, you know? But that's... That's actually kind of high. If I'm being fair,
I was going to say that's kind of wild. I would put Stingley up.
Yeah, if
high.
I'm being fair, they really are giving Will Anderson a lot of love. More, not that he doesn't deserve to be in the top 100.
Yeah.
But where does he fall?
31st.
That's high.
And
that's high.
They're projecting that he has 8 sacks this season.
Okay.
Right. Like
okay.
I think the idea that he bulked up a little bit, right? To be able to play a little bit faster, think less as he gets a little more comfortable in the system.
I'm liking this list.
Yeah, right? Like
you always like the list that benefit you.
Right. And right now, I mean, the idea that Will Anderson Jr. is getting this much love as an edge rusher. Mm-hmm. Obviously a valuable position is one of those things to also consider, but there's a lot of love for Will Anderson Jr. And I mean, the biggest thing is he going to start out on the field to start the season, to give himself the opportunity to accumulate those stats. But, I mean, obviously, the play itself needs to be up there as well because, you know, the defensive line is going to be important. And I also wonder how much is the expectation that Danielle Hunter is going to be across from him.
That has to factor in.
Will also help him.
Also interesting that he's
effective.
Higher than Danielle Hunter.
That is true.
That's crazy, Figgy. I didn't even think of that. I was thinking about Tunsil.
Yeah.
That's
but only by so much. Danielle Hunter is the next man up on this list.
Yeah.
Ranked 39th.
That's 8 spots.
Yeah.
So Neil Hunter had 16 and a half sacks last year?
Yeah. So how many players is that so far?
It's three.
That
three.
Is three players. Okay. Stroud at 15, Anderson at 31, and Danielle Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
At 39. A lot of love for your pass rush in general.
You're darn right.
And it, I mean, it should be, man. This yeah. is this is going to be a pretty scary pass rush. I think if you're looking at concerns about the defensive line, it's more interior, is it not? Especially with Denico Autry suspended for the first six. So that's where it gets interesting. You don't have to go very far until you get the next Texan, literally the next spot.
Okay.
Ranked 40th, Laremy Tunsil.
That would be Laremy Tunsil.
Okay.
So, wow. I think there's a little bit of a surprise there with Will Anderson. I'm liking it. And I hope they're right. And I'm guessing these are all, you don't have to go into it, but I'm guessing these are all, you know, NFL experts, former players, scouts that did it.
Sound like some experts to me.
Yeah, ESPN's NFL. Yeah, definitely some experts. They love the Texans, hey, it seems like. And one of the things, talk about the signature stat, Tunsil's pass block win rate, 98.1%, like over the last two seasons. Yeah. Ninth amongst all players who lined up in offensive tackle. Like, I've been very good in pass blocking situations. It's the reason why he gets paid the big bucks, and it's the reason why he's so well-respected. So, yeah, Tunsil, and of course the big clause that ends up in the write-up is, if he stays healthy and the Texans' offense is rolling, C.J. Stroud has an opportunity to really do something special and possibly get an MVP. So that's four.
Okay.
That's four. Now, this is where it gets interesting, because that is a man at 40, right? You have four in the top 40. The high end of this roster, there's a lot of love for. You have to go for a little while. All the way to position 85 to get the next player. Who do you think the next player is?
I'm going to say either Diggs or Stingley.
I'm going to say Diggs.
It is Diggs.
Yeah.
Diggs. Stephon Diggs. Coming off of what is widely regarded as a down year. Obviously, there was a little bit of different usage towards the back end of the season in Buffalo, right? Once you have the different coordinators step in, and they almost use him a little bit more as a decoy than as an actual, like, receiver that you're trying to get the ball to.
Yeah.
But look, man, it's been clear that he's still wide receiver one, or has that capability. And what, I don't know, do you even feel the need to have a 1-2-3 designation on this wide receiving core?
I mean, for our purposes, it's cool. It's fun. I think a lot of NFL observers will say, just as a description, like, he's their number one wide receiver. I feel like he is. I've felt like he is since they acquired him. I thought it was kind of silly that any other discussion was made, not disrespecting Nico or Tank, but he had done the most and he's proved the most. And I think, you know, I'd be curious, you know, how many wide receivers are ahead of him at 85, because I don't even know if that's available. But I think that just being there tells you what these NFL experts who do this for a living for ESPN really feel about his skills.
Yeah, and I'll have to get that number for you, because I did not keep that readily accessible, but I absolutely should have, because that would be an interesting designation. But yeah, Diggs still, you know, at least a top 100 player, but it seems like, you know, people have some questions after that last season, and I don't know how much personality type things end up kind of factoring into that designation as well. That's five.
Yeah.
There is a sixth player.
I was getting that feeling.
Derek Stingley is a top 100 player, according to ESPN.
Okay.
Ranked 99th, right? And I'll give you the write-up. Stingley's ball skills have risen to another level during training camp, which we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Four interceptions. Each one has been either running the route for the receiver or snatching a 50-50 ball. Defensive coordinator Matt Burke said Stingley is, quote, one of the best ball corners in the league. In 2024, there's a chance the third overall pick from 2022 could be a top three corner, projected to have 64 tackles, 3 interceptions, and maybe
that sounds about right too, because he's gonna they might pick on him here and there, but not very often.
I'll be interested to see. Like, I think maybe the bigger pat on the back, or a testament to what he's become, not just as a player, but then in the minds of opponents throughout the course of the season, is not necessarily going to be his interception numbers. But just, I kind of want to see how often teams throw at him, or I guess for in a better sense, don't throw at him, right?
Yeah.
Opt to go elsewhere because simply he's over on that side.
Look, I this is going to sound very self-serving, very kind of like biased toward the Texans, but I don't mean it that way. I think it's very fair what they're doing. They're projecting guys that clearly were on the upswing last year, or clearly are in a place in their careers where you can expect them to be better. Will Anderson, I still say, was a little high, but they're basically looking at this and saying, you got Danielle Hunter on the other side. You got a dude that was really, you know, really improved by the end of the year, started to develop some pass rushing moves, which we saw probably starting about week 13, week 14. So they're actually, the projection is very good. Now, I would be, you know, curious as well, like, who would be the next receiver? It'd have to be Nico, right? Let's say they ranked him at 110 or something, you know, 115. But I think Tank Dell might be a candidate for, like, if you're looking, if you're really projecting for next year's top 100, I mean, Tank Dell might be on that list as well.
Yeah, I think that he's an interesting one. I wonder, I think Nico Collins is probably
next.
Probably next. Yeah. I think he profiled, although, like, we're getting more more insight into, like, the way, different ways that wide receivers can impact the game, and, you know, not necessarily as beholden to the more traditional outside wide receiver, X receiver, as you'd call them.
Yeah.
I think we're getting away from that being viewed as, like, the prototype for all, you know, all best wide receivers. And we're showing love for, you know, the slot receivers or the guys that can make things happen in different ways, I guess non-traditional, for lack of a better term. And just to let you know, Stephon Diggs is the 19th wide receiver on this.
Okay.
On the list.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do wonder, like, would, yeah, Nico Collins, in my estimation, would be the next. But I think Tank Dell has, he plays such a style where he's real lovable.
Yeah.
And so.
And I think he scores.
He sure does.
I think he's going to score a lot of touchdowns.
Let me ask y'all this. Would y'all be surprised if Tank or Nico was on this 100 list, like this one, if they made it between the 90s, I guess?
If they had made this one,
would you be like, ah, that's a little too high? Or
I wouldn't have expected it, to be honest. Maybe Nico. Right, because based on the numbers.
The crazy thing is, I wouldn't have been surprised.
Yeah.
Like, I'm fine. I think the list is right.
Mm-hmm.
But if they made it, like, between the 90s,
yeah,
I would have been like, okay.
Yeah. I won't say I would have been surprised, but I would have been surprised if both of them.
Yeah, not both.
I think it would be one or the other, probably Nico. I feel
like they say a lot, too, man.
Oh, it says an awful lot. See, you have to realize, we are viewing this top 100 in the entire NFL. What is there, over 2,000 players in the NFL? I mean, that's an elite, elite list, you know, to be in the top 100. And we're looking at it with very Houston-centric, you know, goggles on.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like, what about our guys? What about these guys that we follow every day? So that's a big number to have six. And then to be able to discuss, like, someone like a Tank Dell or a Nico or some other players.
Yeah, damn near 1,700 players if you just go on, like, what's happening on the 53-man rosters there. And in the top 100, they're sliding six. Then you have three on either side of the football, right? Yeah. When you talk about Stroud, Diggs, and Tunsil on offense, Stingley, Hunter, Anderson on defense. And really, the only, like, pretty much every level of what you're talking about here, Joe Mixon does not make an appearance. I do find that to be interesting.
I forgot about him.
Right. Like, because I'm thinking, breaking it down that way, offensively, he's going to be very vital to what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I do wonder how much of that is just, like, value on a running back in general, right? Like, how many running backs ultimately make this list as well. But, yeah, man, what do you take away from that? The idea that not just do you have six guys up there, but defensive line, pass rush in particular, you have a guy out at cornerback that is viewed incredibly highly.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, quarterback, your left tackle, like, those are two important pieces in your passing game. And then, of course, when you ride
wide receivers. What do I take away from it is it's kind of uncharted territory for the Texans to have six and be able to argue others, you know, on top of the six. It kind of how we started the show today. I said, let's not bury the lead. This is a squad.
It's a good team, man.
This is a squad, man. I mean, you look at how we can parse out all the little stuff, and we will, you know, in terms of, like, you know, moves they could make, you know, why do they have five running, et cetera. But this is a really good squad that is balanced on both sides of the ball, you know, and not just balanced on both sides of the ball, but has key elements. Like, how many coaches will tell you, you got to have a quarterback, and you got to rush the quarterback.
Those check and check.
Yes.
Right?
Check and check. That's the thing. They have key elements of winning football here. Two guys on the top 100 that rush the quarterback, and a quarterback in the top 15.
And top 50, top 40 when you talk about rushing the quarterback.
Yeah. So it's big time. I'm also kind of thinking, all right, 1 year from now, what discussion are we going to be having? Is Stephon Diggs? I think Stephon Diggs is going to have a good year, but is he going to be ahead of Nico or Tank?
Or is he even going to be on this team?
Or is he even going to be on this team or on the list? but either way. And then, like, linemen, it takes years of service, years of work to get that.
To build that reputation.
Yeah, to build that reputation. So I'm not going to say too much about the offensive linemen. I don't know. But I think if we get healthy, Christian Harris might be on that list.
Yeah, Christian Harris is an interesting one, and the 832 mentions that name. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like, I'm just really interested, once he gets healthy, once he makes his debut, how that looks. Because, again, one of the benefits and one of the reasons why we think that Will Anderson got a little bit of an additional bump all the way to 31 was he's going to be paired with Danielle Hunter. He's going to have that. I mean, Azeez Al-Shaair is a great linebacker to pair Christian Harris with and make that, you know, give him the opportunity to really reach the fullest extent of his capabilities.
Yeah.
And I think that's another thing, is that all these guys that are listed here, they have good complements, right? Stingley is going to have Lassiter across from him, mm-hmm. who seems like, I mean, for a rookie, he is, you know, as prepared as a rookie can possibly be to step into that role and handle it well, right? We mentioned Anderson and Danielle Hunter. Tunsil, I think offensive line-wise, that offensive line, as you mentioned, another year together, all these guys have been in the system. Like, that should help that congeal. And then we know what's happening with Diggs and the wide receivers, right? We know what that looks like with that group. It already looks like that's going to be explosive. Man, the top end of this roster, widely praised,
mm-hmm.
and there also looks like they're really well positioned to go out and produce in a high level.
That's
this
what
season.
I'm talking about. You can have a top 100 left tackle, but if you don't have a quarterback and you don't have, you know, the weapons, okay, cool. But they've got the left tackle, the quarterback. Probably the two most important positions, on the offense. They got two pass rushers on the top 100, and a cornerback. I mean, they've got the guys that can get it done.
Right, and so as much nitpicking as we're going to do building a 53-man roster, like as D'Amico Ryan said earlier today in his availability, I like where we're at. But he left it with this, right? The idea that no matter with all of that, ultimately, you got to go out there and produce, and that's what remains now that they've built the roster, and I guess there's still potential that they add depth or what have you, as Nick Cassero was mentioning, but it starts with Indianapolis, right? Week one. Like, now you have to go and get the wins and produce on that level, and I think that at the very least what we can say is that they position themselves with a team that's capable of giving them the opportunity to go do that. All right, man. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Coming up next, let's get some lunchtime confessions. We'll do that.